ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
There was a chook who was left something like 10 million pounds in a will. She was called Jiju, but she was rich, so maybe posh, like Jiju. Anyway, does that mean I can leave my car to my cat or my daddo to my dog? What the Duck is presenting Nature's Most Wanted, the intersection of animals and the law. You know, pigs being tried for murder or ducks getting speeding tickets. What the Duck on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've never noticed, Tegan, are you right-handed or left-handed?
Well, you never see me right because we're never in the same room as each other. I am left-handed. How about you?
I'm right-handed.
You're always right.
So lots of people in your family left-handed or just you?
It's actually we outnumber the right-handed people in my immediate family. There's three lefties to two righties in my mum, dad, me and my two sisters. And my grandmother on one side and my grandfather on the other side were also both left-handed. But were very much encouraged to not be left-handed by the people in their lives because it was the time that they grew up in.
Yeah, they got whacked like my father did in school and to force them to write with their right hand. Anyway, handedness is what we're talking about today on What's That Rash?
It's the show where we answer the health questions everyone is asking, and this was a question that we answered at our recent live show at World Science Festival Brisbane.
Hi, I'm Ian, and many years ago I was working with a colleague who was struggling to use his computer mouse. When I asked him about it, he said that he was deliberately using his left hand even though he was right-handed. His theory was that it forced the brain to use different neural pathways and thus kept it fresh, hopefully staving off dementia in old age. Is there any truth to this theory?
Ian, you couldn't have done a better job of reading that out. Thank you so very, very much.
Given the computer age, I actually don't know. Are you right-handed or left-handed?
I am left-handed.
Ah.
And what are you?
I'm right-handed.
All right. Who's with me? Left hands up.
Oh, good.
Really? Okay, cool. And right-handed people? Yeah, that's what we thought. Is anyone here ambidextrous? Yes. We'll be the judge of that in a while.
You might not want to be ambidextrous when I've got to tell you what the story is, but anyway, that's another
story. So, this is actually a pretty representative sample because about 10% of humans are left-handed. It's not the same across species, though. Yes, have handedness, or have preferences as to which limb they use. So there was a study in 2013 that compared 119 different animal species, ranging from toads and lizards to birds and primates, and found that 51% of the species had a preferred limb when doing a fine motor task. But it's not the same split among species. So, yeah, we've got this 90-10 split in humans, quite dramatic. Bees have a preference, but it's about a 55-45 split. That's according to research from here in Queensland at the University of Queensland. Cats have a preference generally, but it's a pretty even split. But you can test your cat's pawedness if you want. You hate cats, don't you, Norman?
I do. So
if you're a cat lover, please hiss at Norman now. If you love
the loudest hiss comes from our producer Shelby, yeah. Who's a cat lover.
If you would like to know what paw your cat prefers to use, what you can do to test it is get like an empty toilet roll, like a toilet roll, and you can put a little Treato in the bottom of it, and you can see which one of its dainty little paws it puts in to get the treat, because it can only fit one paw in. So yes, cat's handedness, very evenly split. Human's handedness,
elephants, how they use their trunks and things like that.
I don't know. I wasn't part of the research study that looked at the... I don't have all 119 species here, unfortunately.
Do we know what the evolutionary advantage is?
It's... Okay, so, yes. So humans...
I'm glad about that.
Humans are a really social species, and we have been able to dominate this entire planet and potentially the rest of the solar system because of our ability to work together. And so working together means teaching each other the skills that we have, and it's easier to teach the skill. If you're a left-handed person, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's easier to teach a skill to someone who has the same preferred hand as you, which means that having left-handedness should be an impediment to survival. But the element of surprise is also quite powerful. So if you look at professional boxers, like fighters, what you'll see through almost every tier of eliteness...
It's called the Southpaw, isn't it?
Well, yeah, being a Southpaw is an advantage. So it's a much higher than 10% success rate if you're a left-handed boxer, because if you're a right-handed boxer, pretty much everyone you're ever punching is punching you back with their right hand, and you get pretty good at punching people with your right hand. But if you are left-handed, then you have the element of surprise on your side. But it only works if it's a surprise. So that's why around that 10% seems to have been pretty stable across populations.
And bowlers always complain about bowling to a left-handed cricket,
yeah, exactly.
Or left-handed batsman.
Exactly. So you can, if you're in that cool minority with me, that's part of the reason why. But because humans are such a social species, that's selected for in that really dramatic way, other species less so.
But there's all this cultural stuff, you know, the word sinister is...
Exactly. No, very, very good. So if you look at different languages, so the word sinister means like
left.
Crafty. Well, yes, exactly. So we think of that word as having connotations of untrustworthiness. It's Latin for left. As opposed to the Latin word for right, which is dexter. Dexter, as in dexterity, as in being skilled at something like that. It's the word for skillful. Similarly, in French, gauche, as in something that we would think of as being maybe like tacky, left. Adroit, which we would say is a skillful, right. Latin, mancino, which is derived from the word for crippled, maimed or defective, is left. And then in English, obviously, our word for not left is literally right. So it is one of these things that has been mistrusted. In fact, actually, Norman, I want to fact check something with you as a Scotsman.
Yes.
Apparently, verify this for me, is it bad luck to meet a left-handed person at the start of a journey?
I've never thought so, but maybe there's some Highland...
This is something that you've been brewing since the day we met.
There's this family, the Scottish family, the Kerrs, who are supposed...
Yes. Okay, so... We will talk about the genetics in a second.
Right.
We will talk about the genetics in a second, but because it's not just genetic. But there was a family, Clan Kerr, in Scotland, typically associated with left-handedness. There's a castle which belonged to the family, which supposedly has a turnpike stairs explicitly designed with left-handers in mind. It's now on my bucket list. But there was a couple of people in this family that were left-handed swordsmen, and it became... an advantage, a bit like the boxers, right? A left-handed mercenary could command a higher fee for his services, and people who fought that way were called Kerr-handed. So that's where it ended up being kind of associated with this particular family. However, in 1972, the British Medical Journal went and looked into this family, said 30% of people with the surname Kerr were left-handed compared to 11% of the world's population, but that was pretty much debunked in 1993. So if you're a Kerr or you know a Kerr and they're left-handed, could just be confirmation bias, or maybe there's something to it.
Yeah, there's this, you know, sitting to the right of the king or sitting to the right of God, and the right hand being the clean hand, the left hand being the dirty hand.
That's true. In some cultures, it's sort of reinforced by culture, which I guess goes to this idea that some people, up until probably a generation or two ago, and maybe still in some parts of the world, it's really hard to get good statistics on handedness because people were sort of funneled into using their right hand, whether that was their preferred hand or not.
So was anybody here forced to try and use your right hand?
Really?
In school? Yeah.
Do you want to talk about what could have happened to those people in their poor little brains?
Didn't work?
Okay.
Well, there's a lot of... I mean, it traumatised a lot of children. You know, in Scotland, you used to get the belt or banged over your wrist. There was a theory for a while that it might have increased the risk of stuttering because of the nervous reaction of children. They're not so sure about that, but it certainly was quite traumatic for a lot of kids. And it comes to that sort of brain training thing, which we'll come back to later. But it mostly didn't work or made people ambidextrous. People that it worked a little bit, never made them right-handed, but it made them ambidextrous. Such was the prejudice against left-handed
people. So we need to talk about ambidextrousness now, because I think, well, maybe before we do that, we talk about how, like, you put your hand up if you're left-handed, you put your hand up if you're right-handed, ambidextrous. That's based on the hand you write with, correct? But there's more to it than that.
There is. So before you have major neurosurgery, certain kinds of neurosurgery, or you're having an operation, say, for brain cancer, the neurosurgeon needs to know which is your dominant side, the dominant hemisphere. And that goes partly to your handedness. And so there's various questions that they ask you. So some of you might think that you're right-handed, but you may be left-handed or significantly left-handed. So the common thing is, do I write with my right hand? But the question is, if you're pushing a broom, which hand is at the top of the broom? If it's your left hand rather than your right hand, if you're right-handed, it's going to be your right hand. But if you've got a tendency to left-handed, you might put your left hand at the top of the broom. If you're handed a pair of scissors, do you cut with your right hand or your left hand? So people who write with their right hand may cut with their left hand. When you're brushing your teeth, do you use your right hand or your left hand? And there are also brain scans that they can do now. But when you do these, and there's a whole series of these questions, as well as the brain scans, you sometimes get a surprise. And that's why they started asking all these questions, because they would do surgery on people and discover they've operated on the dominant lobe, you know, not realizing it was the dominant lobe, and causing problems.
So they're looking in the brain...
or hemisphere, I should say.
They're looking at... you know, people's preferences, and it obviously isn't just sort of like a switch of one or the other. What do we know about the drivers of handedness?
Well, not a lot. Well, so when I say not a lot, there have been quite big studies looking at the genetics of it and the factors. So low birth weight, so child born low birth weight, there is an increased tendency to left-handedness in that child. Multiple births, twins and triplets, increased tendency to left-handedness. Season of the year, colder months, born in the colder months, more likely to be left-handed. Males more than females, not being breastfed for some reason. And you know, a mother who is left-handed is more likely to have a baby that is left-handed. But when you add all those up, they don't amount to very much. Mm. In other words, what the statisticians call effect size, the effect size of all these variables is tiny, even when you add them up. So the answer is, it is almost certainly environmental, but they don't know what it is.
So we talked about ambidextrousness before, and one of the things that I wanted to call out about that is that you can think you're ambidextrous and not be. So handedness is along a spectrum, and when someone is considered to be ambidextrous is when they are ambidextrous, as in they're like equally dextrous, remembering that the word comes from the word for right in Latin. They're equally able to use both sides of their body, and actually most people aren't. They can be very skilled in both sides but still have a preferred dominant hand. So to come to the question, so the question really wasn't about handedness at all. It was about forcing yourself to use your non-dominant hand to amplify your brain power somehow. Is there anything in that?
So I need to talk about something called transfer. You know, if you're buying a cognitive training program or what have you, or you're doing Sudoku, what you're hoping is that by doing Sudoku, that makes your brain more developed or more strong, you know, has more resilience, and therefore in all your other activities of daily life, it's going to be better. No. All that happens when you do Sudoku is you get good at Sudoku. So whichever part of the brain is the Sudoku part of your brain, you know, enlarges when you do Sudoku, but nothing much else happens. And this is called transfer. So most of people who do cognitive training, and this is the implication in the question, is that if I force myself to use the other hand, am I developing my whole brain, and is it going to transfer to other things in my life? And it turns out that if you actually do that and force this, it's been done in non-human primates, you do get a brain effect, but it's like doing Sudoku. It's just in a very small part of the brain and there's no transfer. And when you look at a situation when it's been forced, and you look at people who, in the old days, who were actually trained, you know, forced to try and do that and became ambidextrous, in fact, there was some decline in cognitive function. And so it was actually damaging to do that to children. So there was a negative effect on the brain. Now, these are not big studies. You can't go to town on it, but there wasn't an improvement. And that's the best that you can say, is that if you want to improve the little handed part on your other side of your brain, go for it. But it's not going to make you more brilliant in the rest of your life or stave off dementia.
So bottom line for Ian, don't bother.
Don't bother. Just stick with it. Stick with the hand that you've got, baby.
And you can all put it in your calendars. International Left-Handers Day is Thursday the 13th of August. High five a left-handed person that day. And please thank Norman with the sound of one hand clapping.
So, Norman, we also obviously always do our mailbag here on What's That Rash, and at the live show at World Science Festival Brisbane, we did a live mailbag, aka people in the audience were able to ask questions.
Hi, I've just got a question, and it's to do with the Mediterranean diet.
Well done.
Australians in general, as they're getting younger, they're looking more and more of moving away from alcohol. Part of one of the joys of the Mediterranean diet is that lovely glass of red that you could have with dinner. Is there still the advantage of having a glass of non-alcoholic red with your dinner, as opposed to, and are there any other parts of the diet perhaps where you could look at alternative options that are in the diet itself?
Right.
Before you get started, yep, I do want to refer people to the episode of What's That Rash we did, saying can a little bit of alcohol be a good thing for you? I think it's one of our most complained about episodes because I think we called red wine drinkers tossers. But both of us would identify as such. So having said
that's because you know I drink red wine. So the answer is alcohol is not as much part of the Mediterranean diet as you think.
Get it out of your system. Just go now. All right.
But the question is a red drink made from grapes, you know, good for you? So the answer is the red drink or any alcohol, but there's no, when you look at the studies, with alcohol, there is no benefit from the alcohol, the red wine or white wine itself. Now, it could be that that's the alcohol counteracting the effects of the wine. However, red is a good colour in a diverse diet because it's got lycopenes, and so you tend to have more antioxidants in the red colour. But you know, you've got rainbow colours in food, and all the colours mean that you've got bioactive compounds in it. So it could be that grape juice has antioxidants and bioactive compounds in it, but really most of that's going to come from the vegetables in your diet. It's not that much fruit in a Mediterranean diet, but the vegetables in it and how you cook them. So, for example, if you take a tomato, and this is work done at Deakin University, if you take a tomato and it's, instead of eating some rubbish, a raw tomato is great. If you chop the tomato, it releases more bioactive compounds. Pour dressing on it, and it may be the vinegar that's as active as the olive oil, then you release even more. There's a chemical reaction. But here's the magic. If you roast a tomato with olive oil, it really does produce massive amounts of bioactive compounds. And it turns out with the diet that it's the way you cook it. It's the dietary pattern. It's the cuisine as much as the components of the diet.
In addition to our red wine episode, we have also done an episode on the Mediterranean diet, which is worth a re-listen.
And after the show, an audience member emailed us.
Yeah, they emailed about, so I'd given some directions on how to figure out if your cat is left or right-handed. And Natalie emailed in saying, loved seeing What's That Rash in person today. Natalie, thank you for coming to our show. I tried Tegan's directions to attempt to work out which is Aurora's dominant paw by putting a treat in a toilet roll, but Aurora did not play along. I guess I'll just have to live without knowing this very important trait. And Natalie has attached a couple of photos of a very cute grey cat not putting her paw inside the toilet roll to get a
treat. Very cat-like behaviour, if I might say so, as a cat. No, I won't say what I mean.
Everyone knows you hate cats, Norman. You don't have to hide it anymore. Well, thank you, Natalie, and everyone who came to our show at World Science Festival Brisbane. It was so fun meeting you.
Send us your questions to thatrash@abc.net.au.
And we'll catch you again next time.